For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Our speaker this morning is the Reverend Dr. Denny Cruto. Denny is a 1963 graduate of the U.S. Military Academy in West Point. He then served as an Army chaplain, has served for a number of years as a pastor, and most recently has been appointed to be the professor of practical theology at the Reformed Presbyterian Seminary in Pittsburgh. We welcome him.
Thank you, Dean. And it's a real privilege for me to be here. I've had a number of occasions to preach at the Sterling College Chapel in Sterling, Kansas, where I was a pastor, but my first opportunity here. So thank you for the invitation, and it's a real treat for me to be here with you. As Dean Smith indicated, I graduated from the Military Academy a couple of years ago, and And I was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Army and dutifully went to the officer training school to which I was appointed, and then to Fort Bragg, where I learned to jump out of airplanes. Why someone would jump out of a perfectly good airplane is a mystery to me, but people do learn to do that sort of thing, and I was one of them. And at that time, things were not well for me in my own life. Having just graduated from college and not being a Christian, I learned to drink in my home under the tutelage of my father. And my father and I had a falling out. It was not a small falling out. After I'd been in jump school and had gone home, I learned that he was in an affair. And it's not a fun thing when your mother confronts you and says, "What's your dad up to?" She knew it full well, and so did I. And so I wanted out. And knowing the Army a little bit, I went to the proper authorities and said, "I'd like to go to Korea. Can you get me out of this country and send me to the other side of the world?" I said, "Yeah, we can do that. We don't have too many volunteers for that, but we'd be glad to do that." So a few weeks later, I found myself in the land of Korea. And when I got there, I promptly went to the liquor store and bought a bottle of bourbon and a bottle of vermouth. That was the drink of choice. And there was a little bar in the bachelor's officer's quarter where I was stationed. And I put those two bottles in the little bar there to be handled properly by the bartender, so at the appropriate times I could go there and get the drink of choice. But at the same time, I noticed that a lot of the other officers were living a rather dissolute life. Prostitution was quite prevalent, and my own company commander was living with a young lady in the company area. I thought to myself, "Okay, Denny, things are not too well with you, but are you going to go down this same track with the rest of these people? Is that what your life is going to be like?" And so I made a determination at that point that I was not going to go down the same road as many of the other men. I didn't know what that meant, except I wasn't going to shack up with someone I knew that was the case. And I decided I'd go to chapel. That was a novelty. Chapel's a good thing. And I understand that some students are trying to avoid it. Anyone under the bleachers back here? Hey, up there in the corner. In the dark. Okay, you're not asleep. Good. How about this corner over here? Yeah, okay, thank you. All right. I decided I'd go to chapel. I got acquainted with the chaplain. And during that course of time, I was asked by my company commander to give a little class on personal affairs to the men in my company. I had to talk about, you know, how to be a good soldier and how things in the Army were set up where you, if you needed help, you had certain individuals you could go talk to. And how you could work with the Red Cross if there was a problem in your family. That's what the class was about. And so I conducted the class. It was in a little theater. And when the class came to a close and I had a little bit more time, I said to the class, beats me why I said this, actually, if you have a problem that you're not able to handle, a good person to talk to is a chaplain. And so I dismissed the class, and the first sergeant marched them off, and I started back to the company area. I did a U-turn in the road and walked right to the chaplain's office, which was across the street from the theater. Pretty handy, eh? I sat down. There was a GI in front of me. He went into the office, and after he came out in a while, it was my turn. So I go in the office and sit down. It's a Quonset hut, little office, big enough for a desk and two chairs. That was it. Chaplain knew me, and he said, "Lieutenant Crudo, why are you here?" I said, "Chaplain, I do not have the vaguest notion." And that was the truth. Do you know what the next words out of his mouth were? Chaplain said to me, "Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" I paused for a moment, thought to myself, probably not a good idea to lie to the chaplain. So I said, "No, I haven't." I had pulled out a little New Testament, and he began to go through it. "You're a sinner, Lieutenant Trudeau." I already knew that. You didn't have to convince me. I already knew that was the case. And then he went through the gospel, how that Christ died on that cross to pay the penalty for the sins of people just like me. And how it was necessary for me to repent of my sins and to trust in Jesus Christ who paid the penalty for those sins. Wow. I'd really never heard that and understood that before. He said, "You want to pray?" I said, "Yeah." And we prayed together. And I went out of that office a different human being. And my life has never been the same since. The next morning when I went to Reveille, early in the morning, you're familiar with this. Early in the morning, you get up, you can't see, it's dark. You don't want to open your eyes anyway. So all these guys are out there lined up. Here's my platoon in front of me. I'm walking on a cloud. I'm happy. I said, "Lieutenant, what's your problem? Why are you so happy?" Well, I didn't have time to really explain it to them then. But then something else happened to me. I had an almost immediate impulse to go to seminary. I hardly knew what a seminary was. Seminary? Well, is that a place where you go in hiding? Something like that. Well, the chaplain who was courageous and preached the gospel and led me to Christ was from Southern California. And he said, you know, you ought to go to Fuller Seminary. Not a lot of people probably would recommend that today in real conservative circles. I thought, okay, why not? You suggested it. I'll give it a try. I wrote and I got a catalog and showed it to him. We worked together a little bit. I put in the application, and lo and behold, I was accepted. Now, you wouldn't understand my astonishment at this, because I went to the University of Delaware for a year, where I flunked freshman English. And then, at the military academy, why are you laughing? This is not good. At the military academy, I was really bright in math and physics. I was right there on top in math and physics. I flunked English again. This is not good. But because I was so bright in math and physics, they kept me on. And so I did graduate. And so I found myself in Korea, and here I was. I got accepted to seminary, which petrified me. My only problem was, I was in the Army. And now when I went home and I put things together with my dad and I showed them the letter of acceptance from Fuller Seminary, the logical question of my parents was, well, how are you going to get there? I said, I don't have the vaguest notion because I have orders to go to Fort Hood, Texas. And I've got in my other hand, I've got this letter saying I'm accepted at Fuller Seminary. So, how are you going to get there? I don't know. What was that scripture text again? Where is it? Do we have it up there? Where is it? Oh, yeah, there it is. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. God must have something for me to do, and He must have prepared it beforehand for me. Well, I went to Fort Hood, and I still had this letter from Fuller Seminary. You're accepted. You're supposed to go there in June. And I was able to talk to some chaplains there who I got acquainted with. And they said to me, guess what? There's a new regulation which has just been passed which allows a regular Army officer like yourself to go to seminary on excess leave for the purpose of entering the chaplain's corps. Said, it is so new that we do not have a copy of it yet. Said, now this I need to find out about. And when I got a hold of the regulation, indeed that was the case, a regular Army officer in my status could go to seminary on excess leave to become a chaplain in the Army. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And then I read the fine print. You always have to read the fine print. I read the fine print, and as I got down into that regulation, it said, you have to have 3 years active duty before you can apply. Oh, no, because at that time I had 2 years active duty. So I go to one of the administrative officers. Say, I'm a lieutenant. I go to this colonel. Sir, here's the regulation. Take a look at it, please. Give me some advice. So this administrative officer at Fort Hood takes a look at the regulation, and he says, yeah, you're right, you need 3 years active duty, and you have only 2 years. You can put in for a waiver if you want, and put in an application, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a telegram. Anyone know what that is? This is slightly before the time of email. I'm going to send a telegram to Washington just to check it out because this is a fairly new regulation. But okay, thank you. Come back tomorrow. I did. When I went back the next day, do you know what that colonel told me? They've amended the regulation. You only need 2 years. Put in your application. Where's that text? For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Who am I? I'm a nobody. I'm not any big thing. And God saw fit to move, and this is my view of it, and I think this is correct. God saw fit to move the Pentagon for me so I could go into ministry, so I could go to seminary. God, friends, has a plan and a purpose for every one of you in this room. And He's not playing around with that plan and that purpose. When I was in seminary, I thought God had a whole bunch of contingency plans. And if I went over here in this direction, God implemented contingency plan 1,432,692. Bunk! God has a plan. And He has a perfect plan. And that text keeps vanishing. That text says, you read it. That text says that when you come to Christ, you are God's workmanship. You are God's workmanship. And you are created in Christ Jesus for good works, for works of service. That's why God has created you. And He has foreordained the good works that He plans for you to walk in. That is God's purpose for you. Now I know that some of you are in the same boat I was before I walked into that chaplain's office on that day. If that's the case, friend, you need to come to Christ. You need to repent of your sins. You need to trust Christ as the one who died on that cross for you. So you can say with Paul, He loved me and He gave Himself up for me. And you need to realize that God does not bring you into His kingdom so you can sit around. He's brought you into His kingdom so you can serve Him. And there are a multitude of ways in which you may serve Him. And we've just seen a few of those ways here today. And I thank God for these firemen and policemen and for those of you who are in the service now. God has foreordained those things. And just like He paved the way for a little nobody like me to be in the chaplaincy, and then to be in the pastorate, and then to teach at seminary. He's got a plan, friend. He's got a plan for you. which he has foreordained. And so your responsibility is to pray and to seek him and to follow the leadings and the open doors, and you will emerge into that plan that God has for you at the proper time, because he will bring it about. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's you, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Thank God that that is the case. And thank God that he has called you into his service, and by his grace, he will open the doors at the proper time for your service. And you too will testify of his goodness and grace. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you again that you are so good to us. Undeserving though we be, we are a people who are in great need. And you have come to us in Jesus Christ. And you have come to us in such a way as to lift us up and to bear us up, as it were, upon eagle's wings and give us strength. And you have prepared plans and purposes for us. Thank you. Carry these young men and women, faculty members and staff members, police and firemen, carry them forward with this realization, Father, that they are in your hands. And by your grace, they will serve you. They will serve you as you have planned. And there will be in the end great joy because of it. Hear us, we ask, and bless this assembly, we pray, in the good and the gracious name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. You are dismissed.